Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome back to the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. I just wanted to start this one off by talking about how this is one of my favorite times of the year for sports because, I mean, there's a lot going on. You have basketball season in full swing. You have football season gearing towards the playoffs. And, I mean, as a 49ers fan, I will admit I'm not as interested as I have been in prior years, just based on the state of the team. I guess I could be excited about hopefully they lose even more games and then end up with the number one overall pick. But knowing the 49ers draft record, they'll probably end up picking the wrong player. So that kind of makes me lose hope even in that aspect. So I have absolutely no hope there. And I've been paying more attention to basketball. And then you have hockey and in the middle of their season as well, so I've been paying attention to that a little more too. And then personally, my favorite sport, baseball. It's the off season, but right around this time you have the winter meetings going on, and basically the hot stove is on right about now. I mean, you have everyone either making deals, discussing deals, signing free agents, trading for players to improve their roster in whichever way they see fit. And so that's why I wanted to kind of talk about the MLB offseason. That's going to be the main focus of this podcast. It's probably going to be the only thing I talk about just because I feel like there's quite a bit to talk about there. Free agency and all the signings really started last week. There wasn't really much going on, but one of the biggest name free agents, Yoenis Cespedes, he signed his contract with the Mets around last week for 4 years, $100 million. So that was the first big contract that was released to the public, and that was probably one of the biggest signings, just simply because Yoenis Cespedes was one of the top free agents, probably the top free agent from a hitting standpoint. So he signed with the Mets for 4 years, $100 million. I was a little bummed there. But of course, the Giants, they were linked to Yoenis Cespedes. I ultimately didn't really feel like that was a plausible option. I didn't really think that was realistic. But a baseball fan can dream, can he? And so yeah, that was a little bummed there. I kind of expected that, to be honest. The indications were that he was leaning towards remaining with New York. I know he really enjoyed his stay there from the last couple of years, and I don't really blame him for wanting to stay there. He's a player who is, for as good as he's been shopped around quite a bit. I mean, he went from Oakland to Boston to Detroit, and then now in the Mets. That's a lot. He's only been in the league like 5 or 6 years. So I'm happy for Yoenis Cespedes sticking with the Mets. I mean, I guess the main thing is if he's not going to go with the Giants, I'm just glad it's not him signing with someone within their division. So congrats to the Mets there. They got their power-hitting left fielder back. And congrats to Yoenis Cespedes on re-signing. My next point that I kind of want to talk about, some of the other big-name free agents from a position standpoint, or from the closer position, and you have the biggest names this year was Mark Melancon, Kenley Jansen, and of course Aroldis Chapman, and two of those players have actually been signed, with Melancon signing with the Giants the other day, and Aroldis Chapman signing with the Yankees earlier this evening. And I'll talk about Aroldis Chapman and his contract in a little bit. First, I wanted to start by talking about Mark Melancon's deal with the Giants. Giants signed him to a 4-year, $62 million contract, which at the time was the biggest contract ever for a closing pitcher. He's the highest paid closer in MLB history, but that only lasted for a day. So at least for a day, you could say he was the highest paid closer in MLB history. Not the case anymore with the Aroldis Chapman's deal, which, like I said, I'll talk about in a little bit here. So like I said, Mark Melanson, 4 years, $62 million. All I got to say is I am happy that the Giants finally addressed their closing issues. It's only been, what, like 4 or 5 years since they've had a legitimate closer. They've been going by committee for the last few years between Casilla and Romo and just basically ever since Brian Wilson left. And don't get me wrong, Brian Wilson was one of the more interesting and entertaining closers in recent memory. I mean, he never made a ninth inning look easy, but he was dependable at the end of the day, and he more often than not got the job done. And then ever since his departure, ever since he went to the Dodgers and ultimately suffered injuries that I want to say ended his career, I don't know if he officially announced his retirement or anything, but he's certainly not in the league anymore by any recent news. I don't know if he's playing in a amateur league or something of that nature, but I mean, unfortunate for him. I don't really know why I'm talking about Brian Wilson anymore. But yeah, ever since he left, the Giants just have not had a legitimate closer. They've just stuck with who they've had internally. And that's one thing about the Giants that is like I have a love-hate relationship with. I love how loyal they are to their players and to their veterans, especially the ones that have had success in the past. But I feel like in this case, they're a little too loyal. And they, I can't think of the right words, but what I'm trying to say is that they put a little bit too much faith in Casilla and Romo and wanted to be, it almost seemed like they were too loyal to them. And ultimately that came back to bite them in the butt this last season, especially in the playoffs with that brutal game 4 loss to the Cubs. And I think after that, the fans were just not going to have it, not going to accept anything else if they didn't sign a closer this offseason. And the Giants, they're usually a team that are good, that's good at addressing their needs. And this one, they finally realized, look, that ship has sailed between Casilla and Romo. It's time to move on. It's time to go in a new direction, start fresh, get someone who we can depend on. And that's exactly what they did in Mark Melanson. And I actually wrote an article that I posted a couple days ago. It was the day before they signed Melanson, where I was just talking about the Giants' offseason needs and how they need to get a closer. Nothing that's no information that would be considered too new or groundbreaking. It's just something that I personally wanted to touch up on and kind of give my opinion on it. And then so I talked about that. I talked about how they're more likely not going to sign Chapman and Jansen. And so when they sign Mark Melanson, I ultimately was not surprised at all. And then since he signed, just, you know, they always talk about in the media, like, oh, like, which of the players reached out to you? Who reached out to you to kind of try and get you to join the team? And who had an impact on you signing here? And Mark Melanson said his former teammate in Pittsburgh, Ryan Vogelsong, who we all know too well in the Bay Area, he said Vogelsong was a huge advocate for Mark Melanson, always just... This was even before there was any rumors of him coming to the Giants or anything of that nature. This was when they were teammates in Pittsburgh, and Mark Melanson said that Vogelsong was just having honest, positive comments about the San Francisco Giants just because of how thankful he was for the Giants organization and the teammates they had there and the fans and all that. So Mark Melanson said that had a huge impact on him, and I thought that was really cool because we all hear about how much Vogie likes the Giants and how he stays in touch with all the guys and things of that nature. So he said Ryan Vogelsong had a huge impact on that, and then guys like Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Joe Panic, Brandon Bell, basically the whole infield is what it seemed like. I'm not entirely sure if Bumgarner or anyone else. Oh, Hunter Pence too. He said Hunter Pence and him used to be friends, or are friends, and used to do yoga together a few years ago. So I thought that was interesting. Again, I'm not surprised Hunter Pence had some leeway in him signing here and had some sort of impact on Melanson's decision. So I thought that was huge. I'm excited the Giants finally addressed their closer needs. But with that, I am kind of bummed that Bobby Evans said that based on how much they owe to the current players on their roster with the signing of Melanson, that they just don't think it's realistic for them to sign one of the big-name outfield free agents, which, I mean, I'm bummed just in the sense that I wanted them to sign at least someone like a Dexter Fowler or someone of that nature. I think they just should have addressed that need somehow. I would have loved to see a trade for JD Martinez, who they were linked to during this offseason, but obviously that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. The Tigers are said to want at least one major league ready player, and then on top of that they want prospects, and the Giants just aren't willing to part with a major league player at this point. And I don't blame them. I mean, I'm bummed, but they have a pretty solid roster in place, so it'd be pretty hard to break that chemistry at the moment. Who knows? We'll see how Parker and Williamson do during the season and if their contributions will suffice. My indications are that at some point during the season they'll trade for a left fielder, or at least, if not a starting left fielder, at least one to come off the bench and provide some depth, kind of play a platoon role. So that's pretty much all I wanted to touch on with the Giants. They got their closer, and that pretty much seems like that's all they're really going to do this offseason, so don't really expect too much out of them. In other MLB news, the Cubs have been in a lot lately just simply because the media is curious about what they're going to do to address their closer role, and if they're going to make any trades or anything, if they're going to sign Chapman, if they're going to look elsewhere for another closer, a more affordable closer. And that has been answered as they decided to look elsewhere and ultimately not sign Aroldis Chapman. Instead, they traded outfielder Jorge Soler to the Kansas City Royals for Wade Davis. So ultimately, the Cubs got a pretty solid closer, and although it seems kind of surprising they would have traded Jorge Soler, I can't really blame them. I mean, he wasn't going to be a starting outfielder this season, this upcoming season. The Cubs have plenty of outfield depth, and so it makes him tradable, and so that's what they did. They addressed their closer elsewhere. They got Wade Davis, who will come cheaper than Chapman and will still provide really solid innings. He was part of that three-headed monster in Kansas City with Kelvin Herrera, Greg Holland, so that will be no more, and it'll be interesting to see how Soler will develop. I was reading that he's expected to really have a breakout year this season, so it'll be interesting to see if he'll be able to adjust to that American League and to see if his offensive abilities will really take off this year. And I'm equally as interested in seeing how Wade Davis will fit with the Chicago Cubs. I feel like he'll gel well. The Cubs are one of the best teams in baseball. They were the best team in baseball this last season, and it looks like they're going to be up there again this upcoming season. So that's one of the big stories out right now. Between that and then, like I mentioned earlier, Aroldis Chapman is officially signed with the New York Yankees again. So Aroldis Chapman is heading back to New York, who he played for in the first half of this season last season on a 5-year, $86 million contract. So with that contract, he replaces Mark Melancon as the highest paid closer in MLB history. Ultimately, I'm not surprised that Aroldis Chapman chose to go back to New York. They were said to be one of the favorites. They had money to spend, and you know the Yankees are always going to spend their money. I mean, hey, if you have the money, why not? And I actually wrote in my article that I anticipated he would sign with the Yankees. I thought he'd either sign with the Chicago Cubs or with the Yankees, but ultimately I felt like he was going to sign with the Yankees, and then lo and behold, he signs with the Yankees today. So, I mean, we're going to go back to seeing that lethal combination between Dellin Betances and Aroldis Chapman this upcoming season. And I'm not a Yankees fan, so I'm not as excited, but I mean, I respect greatness when respect is due, and that's a respectable bullpen rotation. It's basically, if only they had Andrew Miller, who just has been on an absolute tear the last two seasons, just absolutely deadly. It was basically, you got to get a lead before the sixth inning, because once you reach the seventh inning, it's going to be a tough task to overcome. So, I mean, at least they got Aroldis Chapman back, and they'll have two of those big three names. So, the Yankees got their closer, and then, obviously, the last big name closer on the market is Kenley Jansen, who still has offers on the tables from... He had an offer from the Yankees. I mean, they're not going to get him now, but at some point, he had an offer from the Yankees. And then the Miami Marlins are also interested, which Kenley Jansen actually said he'd be open to reuniting with former Dodger manager Don Mattingly down in South Beach. So I feel like it's either going to be the Dodgers signing Kenley Jansen or going to the Marlins and signing there. Only time will tell. I feel like this is a deal that'll get done within the next day or two. I don't expect him to be on the market for too much longer, especially with Melancon and Chapman off the table. Who knows, though? This could hurt some of the other teams in the mix just because he will be so needed that his asking price could skyrocket. I don't know. I don't think we'll get as much as Chapman, but I think he'll get similar. I think he'll probably get about like high 70s, low 80s for his contract, and probably around 5 or 6 years like Aroldis Chapman received. In other news, the Rangers signed Carlos Gomez. They re-signed him for 1 year, $11.5 million, and then the Rockies signed former Rangers shortstop converted outfielder Ian Desmond, and I think this could be a pretty scary lineup if they decide to keep Cargo. I feel like they will. They signed Ian Desmond to a 5-year, $70 million deal, and the one thing with Colorado is their lineup's going to be deadly, but they need to address their starting rotation. They can't keep... You can only build so good of a lineup without a good pitching rotation. I mean, you can only build so good of a lineup. If you don't have pitching, you're not going to get that far. And then, in other news, the Marlins signed former Dodger catcher A.J. Ellis. It'll be interesting to see if he'll be their starting catcher, if he'll just kind of be like a platoon role, play every other day, something like that. Another thing I want to touch up on is it doesn't really look like the Giants are going to sign any of Javier Lopez, Sergio Romo, Santiago Casilla. I think they made it pretty clear that they're going to move on from those three relievers, which is sad, but expected. Haven't really heard much out of them. Javier Lopez is mulling retirement, so if he doesn't really get a deal that he just wows him. He's probably going to retire. He's leaning more towards retirement. Kassia, I haven't really heard anything about. And then Romo, nothing other than when he was on some radio show saying that the Giants haven't called him and he has some offers. And one of the teams rumored to be interested in Romo is the Yankees. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out, if he'll end up in New York with Aroldis Chapman. Another big story that broke out was the White Sox trading their ace Chris Sale, and in return they got Yoan Moncada, one of the top prospects in all of baseball. Michael Kopech, Luis Alexander, Basabe, I think that's his name, and Victor Diaz. So they got a bunch of prospects who are looking at promising careers in return for Sale. Moncada could be in the big leagues this season, may start the year in AAA, I'm not entirely sure. And then one of the other big news, big deals was the White Sox also traded Adam Eaton, their center fielder, for to the Nationals for prospects Lucas Giolito, Dane Dunning, and Reynaldo Lopez. So the White Sox really stocking up on prospects. Lucas Giolito actually pitched in relief for the Nationals this last season, and he looked really well. So I was kind of surprised to see the Nationals just selling. I don't know. They got rid of, they unfortunately were unable to sign Melanson, and here they are trading some of their top prospects. So look for the White Sox to be good in a couple years, or at least look promising in a couple years. One of the other big name free agents that are still out there is Jose Bautista, and he's been kind of in the news, not so much for what he said, but for what the GM of the Orioles said. Dan Duquette said that they don't really have any interest in signing him just because of the fact that the fans don't like him. He says the fans don't really like Jose Bautista, and that was a real head-scratcher to me, because I'm pretty sure they probably just don't like him because he played for the Blue Jays. I'm pretty sure they'd welcome Jose Bautista with open arms. And I think that's a really bad mistake from a front office standpoint. I think that's not something that would be advised to say to the media or let get out to the public. So that's one of the last things I wanted to touch up on. I just kind of wanted to cover the MLB offseason this far, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming days and ultimately what continues to happen before the season starts. So that's all I really wanted to talk about for this podcast. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned a thing or two. I hope you're as excited for the upcoming baseball season as I am. In the meantime, I hope you have a good rest of your week, and I will see you all next time.